Hold good posture and visualize white light radiating from your heart center. This white light is the combination of pure love, pure compassion, and bodhicitta. Visualize it shining in all directions and touching all sentient beings. It purifies their obscurations and actualizes their thoughts of loving kindness and compassion for each other. Then visualize the white light coming back to you. At the very moment it returns, you are transformed into Avalokiteshvara, who is the embodiment of the compassion of all the Buddhas of the 10 directions and the 3 times. Then chant the mantra of Avalokiteshvara 21 times. Om Mani Padme Hum, 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 Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum, 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 Om Mani Padme Hum. Next, meditate on absolute bodhicitta, the great emptiness, the true nature by using a Vajrayana technique. Consider yourself as you ordinarily are and hold good posture. From your heart center, arising from the primordial nature, golden light radiates in every direction and touches all the beings of the 6 realms. This golden light removes all their obscurations and ignorance, just as the sun dispels darkness. Maintain that clarity, that great view, and that openness for about 5 minutes. Having purified all obscurations and ignorance, the golden light returns to you, and instantly you are transformed into Manjushri, who is the embodiment of the wisdom of all the Buddhas of the 10 directions and the 3 times. With that thought, recite the mantra of Manjushri 21 times. Om Arapatsa Nadi, 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 Om Arapatsa Nadi. Next, the combination of relative bodhicitta and absolute bodhicitta appears in the form of blue light that radiates from your heart center in all directions to all sentient beings of the 6 realms. It purifies and completely dispels their obstacles, negativities, and emotional problems. Meditate in this way for about 5 minutes. The light returns as before, and instantly you are transformed into Vajrapani, the embodiment of the power of all the Buddhas of the 10 directions and the 3 times. Vajrapani does not differ from Vajrakilaya. In fact, Vajrakilaya is sometimes called the more wrathful aspect of Vajrapani. Meditating thusly, recite the mantra of Vajrapani 21 times. Om Vajrapani Hum, 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 Om Vajrapani Hum. If you are unfamiliar with Avalokiteshvara, Manjushri, or Vajrapani, simply visualize that the light returns after completing the Buddha's activities. This is the general way of meditating on the protection wheel or boundary. This is from the book by Snow Lion entitled The Dark Red Amulet, Oral Instructions on the Practice of Vajra Kilaya by Kenshin Palden Sharab Rinpoche and Kempo Sawang Dongyal Rinpoche, otherwise known as the Two Kempos. And you can find out more about them at padmasambhava.org. There'll be a link to the book and their website on the12stepbuddhist.com. The purpose of that meditation just before this in the section on the empowerment of Vajrakilaya, generally, since we have such strong habitual patterns of clinging to phenomena and to an I, quote-unquote, it is necessary to do the protection boundary meditation on the relative level as well. This meditation is based on love, compassion, and bodhicitta, while the meditation on the absolute level is based on the natural state. So again, for these mantras to work properly requires initiation from a qualified lineage holder. You can find out about such initiations. Well, the two Kempos do them all. I've had all of these empowerments from, or versions of empowerments, which they kind of go in different levels. There are longer, more drawn out pujas that can last for days or weeks, and that goes all the way down to, you know, initiation, which can last a couple of hours, to reading the lung or oral transmission of a practice, which is, you know, just a few minutes. But in order to make these work, we want to receive that full empowerment if we can, have the intention to receive it at the very least when doing these practices, really for the benefit to occur. So the topic for today is how to create the fellowship you crave and what that means. If you read the book, I do talk about my experiences in recovery and the difficulties that I had in really fitting in completely or finding a single location or teacher, friend, group, etc. that I could count on to be, you know, the whole enchilada. I mean, it's sort of unfair and unreasonable for me. You know, other people, you know, do find solace, you know, just in their home group, but I never could really find the one place. So I had to, you know, on one hand, integrate with what groups I was involved in, and on the other hand, I had to create specialized groups. Not just circles of friends, but a meeting place, a gathering place. And so one of the biggest, topics, one of the most common emails that I get is, you know, from people who are isolated in different parts of the country who, you know, they're in the Midwest or whatever. And I've spoken about this before, and I mentioned it in another podcast, but about a year ago in November, I wrote the how-to article, How to Start a 12-Step Sangha. And, you know, that was to address that question. And it's still the most popular question that I get is, you know, what do I do? What do you recommend? How do I find a teacher? There aren't any Buddhists around here. You know, if you go to a Buddhist temple and it's Vietnamese or something and nobody speaks English, or they look at you like, what the hell are you doing here? You know, or whatever, or a Chinese temple or something like that, you know, you might not make the connection. If you're really, really devoted and you really want to learn the practice and really be, you know, really participate and be integrated in that community, I mean, there's nothing stopping you. I mean, you could talk to the teacher there and say, hey, look, you know, I'm in recovery. I'd like to start a meeting at this location. I'd like you to, you know, kind of supervise a little bit, or at least, you know, be aware of it, drop in, that sort of thing. You know, have them read the 12-Step Buddhist maybe, or some of the other, you know, books that are out there on the topic. That's one way to go. If you have no group anywhere near you, say you're totally isolated, you know, there are definitely, you know, individuals in your area. There's always a meeting somewhere. There are always a couple of other addicts. I know this can be difficult because, you know, when I lived in Breckenridge, Summit County, Colorado, you know, at the Monday night meeting, there would occasionally be, you know, 30 or 40 people. Well, I mean, we're all up at 10,000 feet. We know that these people live there. They're there, but they never come out, really. So it was a little bit, I turned the volume down here. It looks like I'm spiking. So typically, though, you know, when I'd go to a step study, for example, there'd be like me and this guy, Matt, you know, and he would secretary and I would share, and then he'd read and he'd say, would anyone volunteer to read how it works? And I'd read it, and then he'd share, and then he'd call on me, and it was a little bit absurd, but, and I'd go to noon meetings and there'd be two or three people. So I do know what that's like, but, you know, wherever two or more are gathered, you know, you can think of your situation as being, you know, a meditator in a cave if you're totally alone. But if you really want to reach out, I mean, you can do online sanghas. I'm doing some webcasts now, every Wednesday, 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can look at timeanddate.com, or is it .gov, to check your time zone. But I'm also happy to do those for people in different time zones, you know, at a time that's convenient for you. If you can get a small group of a few people together, or what have you. Or if you're an individual, really, I can do that as well. And there's no cost for that. I mean, people can make a donation if they want on PayPal or something. But the point is, there are ways to communicate. Now, there are more ways to communicate now than there ever have been before. So there is the online version. But I really strongly encourage people to try to set up a meditation meeting. If you want to attract more people, make it open to everybody. So that's why we did with 12-Step Sangha. You don't have to call it Sangha because people might think that's a weird name. They don't really know what it means. It just means community, but you can just call it Meditation for Recovering People, or 12-Step Meditation, or something like that. Put an ad on Craigslist, up in your local health food, or, you know, kind of vegetarian, you know, restaurants or yoga studios, things like that. And I think even no matter how isolated you are, you can probably find that other person or two or three people that are equally isolated. They're out in the boons somewhere, or maybe you're in the middle of, I don't know, the Midwest or something. Or, you know, there are Buddhist groups in a lot of places that there weren't before. I mean, I get emails from people, you know, like Kansas City has a lot of Buddhists, for example. You know, some lamas go there and so forth. So, you know, I mean, there's a guy in Delaware, and they started a little group and stuff, and it's kind of hard for them because they do feel a little bit isolated and they need a Dharma teacher and what have you. I mean, the thing about having a Dharma teacher is that, you know, you can go to the teacher. I mean, my teacher, I'm lucky, you know, does webcasts about monthly, you know, and I've gone to see him in Europe and in the States, you know, a couple of times, and we communicate on email. And there are other teachers who only visit the U.S. periodically. There are teachers that, you know, you can get, if you get 8 or 10 people together, you can get a teacher to come, you know, to your area. I'm certainly willing to go places. You know, get a plane ticket, a place for me to crash, you know, while I'm there, and I'll do it. You know, no problem. There's not a fee involved. I mean, try to make it as accessible as possible. But, you know, in lieu of that, I mean, you can communicate with some teachers. How do you find your teacher? I mean, that could be a topic. There really is a series of literature on this. So, you know, I would just say that when you're looking for a teacher, you can, you know, obviously get the books, the podcasts, the audio, the DVDs, and the webcasts, and that sort of thing. But try to go in person. Pick up a copy of Shambhala or Tricycle or Buddha Dharma or, you know, one of the other Buddhist quarterlies or something like that. And, you know, those Snow Lion has a newspaper that comes out, I think, 3 times a year. I just got mine actually yesterday. They always list in these magazines, they always list the retreats and stuff. So, you know, make it your mission to, you know, go on a retreat. You know, show up at a Zen center or a Tibetan center or a Vipassana center. I mean, we're having a retreat in January 8, 9, 10, 2010 at the Brighton Bush Hot Springs. And I know, you know, Noah Levine does his retreats up there and several people, you know, a lot of local people go and so forth. But there are some other visiting teachers and stuff, and there's yoga retreats and this and that. You know, I made that as cheap as it could possibly get. It's like $65 for the weekend, you know, plus your lodging. And, you know, that's going to happen. You know, come to that. Connect with us. We're happy to have you. Go out and be on a mission to find your teacher. See, make the connection with the teacher that you need. And then they can communicate with you over email or periodically in whatever way. Or maybe you go see them. Some teachers have programs where they take you on a certain curriculum or course for a period of time. Some centers have these. I know there's the Discovering Buddhism course through FPMT, which is the Foundation for the Preservation of the Mahayana Tradition, fpmt.org. You can buy materials. And that, you know, oh, Nalanda Bodhi. Is it nalandabodhi.com? Nalanda West in Seattle. Through Dzogchen Ponlop is the teacher there. They have a correspondence course that you can take. So you can find a teacher, you can find study materials, and you can find one or two other people in your area. You can have a meeting in your living room. You can find a few people to get together periodically and just have a discussion or have a meditation session, that sort of thing. It's really not as hard as I think a lot of people make it. I mean, it's easy to feel cut off and isolated, but particularly if you're in any kind of major metropolitan area, there's really no excuse not to connect. There are people around of like mind. I guarantee it. You just have to be willing and open. And if you're not a leader and you're not somebody who can coordinate things, you know, why don't just find somebody who is? If you're in some medium-sized town or whatever, and, you know, you don't feel like you're the person who can really get things going, then, you know, find the connector in your neighborhood and go to them and say, could you help me? Give me some ideas. You know, go to your spiritual bookstore and ask them to put a little announcement on their email newsletter, that sort of thing. So those are my tips about how to get started with, you know, setting up a group and finding a teacher and having a teacher to sponsor you. I mean, I know that there are various teachers around who will sponsor your group as you're trying to get it started. And this is something that's happening in 12-step Buddhism. This is something that's happening. I'm certainly willing to do it. I mean, there are groups that have started up in different cities, and, you know, Washington on the East Coast and Albuquerque. They've got a couple of meetings going now. You know, so but, you know, if you go through, I think with BuddhistRecovery.org, if you go through them, I think they kind of are limiting it to their kind of view a little bit. And maybe you have to have certain requirements or whatever, or have a particular teacher or something like that to sponsor you to be listed on that or whatever. But I'm not sure that's necessary. I mean, I just think that, you know, you can put up your little ad here and there, ask a few friends or sponsor or sponsee or whatever, if they want to just have an open meditation, you know, at the park or at, you know, the same church where you have your meeting, just do it on, you know, Sunday morning instead of Tuesday evening or whatever. You don't really need anybody. You all don't need to have the same teacher. It doesn't have to be from a particular tradition. I mean, here's my main point. I'm not trying to create a Buddhist recovery program. I'm trying to integrate the already existent, fully functional, awesome, superpower 12-step model. I'm trying to integrate that with these other tools. With what other tools? All the other tools. Whatever other tools work. You know, read my book. I outline all that stuff. You know, but the point being that, you know, I'm not trying to create a substitute for 12-step. I'm creating a supplement to 12-step. So nothing replaces my regular meetings. Now, one of the things I've found in doing the workshops across the country and stuff is that there are more people that need it or that need recovery, but that are not willing to do 12-step than there are in 12-step. And there's like multitudes more, exponentially more people out there. So if you want to be a little bit open, a little bit open-minded, make the meeting, open to anybody from any type of recovery. Be open if you get the newcomer who knows nothing about the 12 steps and has never been to meetings. In other words, don't try to limit it to, say, your AA friends or whatever. You might find, as I have, that the typical 12-step people are sometimes a little bit tunnel vision, what they're willing to think about and do, and so forth. So, trying to make something Buddhist and say, well, this is Buddhist, so if you're Buddhist, you can come. I mean, most people really don't have a clue what that even means. They're not even close to figuring that out. So why limit it? Particularly if you're having trouble, you're wanting to open up and branch out and reach out and so forth, why limit it and make it more difficult? Really make it open to anybody, but you also, I've found this, I have to be open-minded. I can't be like super rigorous big book thumper and have my 12-step meditation meeting and say, well, you guys aren't blah, blah, blah. And it's not like, you have to kind of just say, okay, there's the goofy Buddhist guy who doesn't do AA or whatever, but he's sober and nuts, right? And intellectual and wants to sit there and pontificate. Sometimes you got to deal with those guys. You know what I mean? So be open, be compassionate, practice Dharma, etc. Do you know what I mean? And if you need guidance, there are so many teachers available. There's really no reason not to have a teacher. Sorry for the little glitch there. You just have to seek them out. So if you want somebody to help guide you in Buddhism, work with your sponsor, work with a teacher that you find through these various methods that I've outlined. And I think the point that I was making, I may have gotten a little confused when I stopped the recording for a second there, is that if you want Pema Chodron for your teacher or something, you have to go to Nova Scotia, and then you have to, spend a lot of time. If you want the most famous, greatest teacher and whatever, you have to realize that people are busy and they've got a lot of students clamoring for their attention. So if that's what you want, then, be willing to go to any lengths to get with that person. But it isn't necessary to have the world's most famous teacher, to practice the Dharma and to make progress and so forth. And like I've been saying all along, I'm willing to help you. If you're interested in starting a group, here's the podcast. I've got the article up, and there's going to be some more materials forthcoming in the future. And I'm happy to answer your questions and do a webcast for you and help get your group going. And you'll see it's not as hard as it might seem. Okay, people, until next time, keep coming back.